Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of July 8th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and this time we have Joe.
Hook, line, and sinker.
And Chris.
And boom goes the dynamite.
All right, so I think we should get right into the show because we have a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. And we'll kick it off with a couple trailers that came out. And the first one is the first trailer for Curse of Chucky, which is the sixth movie in the Child's Play series?
Yes, Chucky number six.
Because there's the three, and then there's Bride and Seed. So this will be number six.
Seed of Chucky.
And apparently we're doing some research before the show, and it's a prequel that takes place between 3 and Bride. And Chucky gets somehow sent to, like, a new unsuspecting family and does his usual Chucky things of trying to murder them and other hilarious hijinks.
Waka waka.
He's so incorrigible.
Yeah, you'll love to hate him.
Mm-hmm. So coming to DVD and Blu-ray in September, I believe.
Yeah, so the press release said that the Blu-ray would be October and the digital would be September, but I've seen a few conflicting things. So we'll see either the end of September or the beginning of October for the Blu-ray release. But the Blu-ray has like a ton of like special features and stuff, so I think I'm going to hold out for that.
Mm-hmm. Featuring original voice of Chucky, Brad Dourif, coming back.
Mm. Amen.
And then apparently his daughter is going to be starring in it as like the, I don't know if she's like the kid or the mom or something or.
I think she's the one in the wheelchair.
Okay.
In the trailer and on the soundtrack cover and DVD cover. So we could imagine where that one's going.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like it's going back to sort of the first Child's Play. Kind of like just like Chucky with like a family, and then no one realizes he's evil until things start happening.
Yeah, it definitely. First of all, I just want to say that I loved the trailer. I thought it was excellent. I'm definitely excited about this movie. And to me, it looks more like Child's Play 2. And the only reason I say that is because in the first Chucky movie, like he doesn't really have like that personality yet. Like he does, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, like you could kind of see where it comes from, but by the second movie it's definitely like he's more of a smart ass and like he'll talk shit to you while he's killing you, which is pretty awesome. So he seems to definitely be like that fully developed Chucky from Child's Play 2, but it's definitely, at least from this trailer, much more claustrophobic and contained, sort of. Like, it all seems to take place inside this one house, or at least in one, like, neighborhood or something like that. So, definitely back to its roots, for sure, with the Child's Play 1 thing.
I think, yeah, the weakness of Chucky is that, like, if you leave him outside, he's actually pretty vulnerable. He only, his campground kill area is, like, always, like, old houses.
Or a military school.
Yeah.
Part 3. It was actually not a bad movie, despite the flack it gets. I do not have a problem with admitting to being horrified of Chucky since I'm a little kid. So, believe me, I understand the horror of the situation. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. I actually had a dream one time when I was little that I was being, like, attacked by Chucky or whatever. And for some reason in the dream, I just kind of like stepped on his back and pulled the back of his hair, like pulled his hair and just kind of like put my foot on the back of his neck and pulled his head off.
Mm-hmm.
And that just sort of solved everything. I was like, well, that was actually really easy because this motherfucker's made out of plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, and then I woke up and was like, huh, I don't think those movies are going to hold up anymore. Like, nobody's ever put him in a microwave. Like, come on, man. What are we doing?
Well, they tried to, like, shoot him or stab him or something. It's like,
yeah, quick, let's fist fight him. Like, what? Jiu-jitsu. Ah, his limbs are so tiny. I can't get the arm bar.
Yeah, so definitely, looks like a should be like a solid entry in that series. I'm sure Joe or one of us will have a review at some point when it comes out.
Fuck yeah, absolutely. And if they really want to be dolls and sent it to us early so we could review it, I would be certainly up for that.
Yes,
just saying.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so the other trailer came out actually like a few hours before we started recording here is previously unknown to everyone, but. There's a going to be a Rambo video game coming out in September and this fall sometime. I think September, but it might be somewhere later. But yeah, so based on the first three movies, so no Rambo 4, unfortunately, but it's going to be a first-person shooter. You're going through the events of the first three movies and stealthing around and blowing stuff up and rescuing hostages and all sorts of other crazy Rambo stuff, getting, like stabbing people with knives.
Killing dogs with trees.
Yep. it's coming from. Oh, I gotta look up the developer again. Was it Taeon or something?
Some weird company I've never heard of. No offense. Yeah.
Of some obscene, like probably European company that's never seen a Rambo movie.
Obscene. Yeah, for sure.
They did. Probably the most high profile get it done is like Heavy Fire Afghanistan.
Which is, like, good.
Super, super like low budget, like budget like PS3 title.
Good. So at least this is right in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, trailer, I mean, definitely had some of the like key moments. Like, it looks like you'll be like hunting down the cops and from Rambo, from First Blood, piling the helicopter from 2, helping the Taliban in 3, possibly.
Yeesh. Forgot about that, didn't you?
It's a little awkward.
All I ask in return is that you never blow up our buildings. No problem, Rambo.
You also helped him in like Black Ops 2, and like, you know, I think you're gonna do it in like Metal Gear Solid 5 now.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we've been helping the Taliban since the 80s.
When they were the Mujahideen.
The Mujahideen. Well, the Mujahideen still exists, depending on who you talk to. But
yeah.
The real problem is they're kind of like the Shredder. Or, like, the boogeyman,
yeah.
Where it's, like, whenever shit goes bad and the government wants us to, like, look the other way, they're like, look at what the Taliban did, and they're like, motherfucker, you're sending us guns. No, we're not. Don't listen to them. They're brown.
Here's a shoulder-launched rocket launcher.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, whenever they say rebels, like, who the fuck do you think they're talking about? Oh, we're sending rocket launchers to rebels. Those aren't, like, single moms. Like, you know what I mean? Those are fucking, like,
yeah.
Crazy militia dudes. Like, if you think if you hate the NRA in this country, like, Jesus Christ. Just, goddamn. So Rambo, yeah fucking,
yeah.
That's gonna be badass.
You got the bow.
Oh yeah. Got the bow. I saw the poncho from the first movie,
yep.
So you know.
I don't think he killed a lot of people in the first movie, right?
He accidentally he might have contributed to like one death in First Blood.
One death, a helicopter dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, in the game, it seems like you get just murdered.
Like, yeah, like,
just,
like
slitting
like,
throats.
He straight, like, slit that one cop's throat, which is just, like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember that in the movie. Well,
at the end of the trailer, he also, throws a grenade at, like, a truck full of cops in the street.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa, I don't remember that shit happening.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's, like, a mini game, like, a quick time event or something at the end of, like, the Rambo 2 part, where, like, you just, like, punch Murdoch in the face repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have like a quick time event of like you like smashing the microphone into like the commies' faces.
Mm-hmm.
Murdoch, come for you. You'd like build up your flexing around the microphone.
I hope there's a mini game where you drive a boat.
But like boat pirates. Yeah, it's. I can't believe there's no four though, because four is like so many insane things you could put into a video game.
Yeah, really.
Like, shooting, like, exploding arrows into the people, like, running across minefields and, like, jumping out of 50 caliber. And, like, just, like...
Macheting people.
Yeah, macheting people's heads off, ripping people's throats out. You, like, running through the... running away from a nuclear explosion or something, whatever he did in that. Like, he tied, like, the fishing line to himself, like, ran along, like, set off that nuke that was, like, just sitting in the desert, or like, in the jungle.
Why not?
But yeah, so that's coming out sometime this fall for, I believe, the only the current generation, because there's no way that that company could afford to be a next-generation, like, developer. But I'm sure at least one of us would probably check that out, because it's Rambo, so...
Oh, hell yeah. Making fun of yeah. it, but it's like, yeah, we put 8 years in development to this, and we're just like, what?
Oh, no, listen, man, if they release a demo for that, I'll be all over it. Yes. I'm just not going to jump into a fucking franchise game like that.
I'm not paying $60 for it, but if it's, like... 30 possibly?
If it's 30 and the demo is decent, I might do it.
Yeah,
but if not, I could wait till like next Black Friday.
Oh my god, is there's like multiplayer?
Oh my god,
like, I feel like that would break this game.
There's like co-op with like, yeah, where you play as like player two is like Colonel Troutman. Oh my god, best game ever. You have your game of the year.
Yeah, understatement right there. Yeah. Fuck Arkham Origins. Mm-hmm.
So, moving on to other news for, from the past week or so. Apparently, NBC is talking with, none other than David Bowie to appear on, Hannibal as possibly Hannibal's uncle.
Uncle Hanny?
Uncle Bowie.
Sounds pretty freaky.
Uncle Ziggy.
Oh my god, I really hope they don't fall back into Hannibal Rises mode, where it's like, hey, uncle, and my strange, like, geisha aunt.
Mm-hmm.
That happened, people.
He'll probably just be Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
I somehow time-traveled.
It's pretty freaky, man. You know, I was actually reading this fairly decent article on like the history of like Batman movies that were never made a while back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point for one of those scripts that was floating around before the first Tim Burton movie, like, I think the first one was, like, The Batman in 1983, and, like, it had Bill Murray as Batman, like, at least a couple of those scripts, because a lot of them were just, like, rewrites, had David Bowie as the Joker. So could you imagine what sort of parallel dimension we could be living in?
Yeah.
Where fucking, like, David Bowie...
Like, if Bowie was still the Thin White Duke, just a diet of cocaine and milk.
Dude, all he needed to do was... Okay, if someone really wants to make my day and you're listening to this and you're better at Photoshop than I am, take the picture of David Bowie from the Ashes to Ashes video and just make his hair green, and you've got the Joker. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you need. I think the article actually manipulated the screen cap of him in The Man Who Fell to Earth, where he's, like, naked in bed pointing the gun at that girl. And they just made him, like, super white with the red lips and green hair. And I was like, you know what? I actually kind of see it.
Yep. And he could have done the soundtrack instead of Prince.
Yeah, it would have equally interesting.
Yeah.
Equally interesting.
He also could, like, he could show up also in Hannibal as, like, the Sovereign and just, like, induct Hannibal into, like, the Guild of Calamitous Intent or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool possibilities. I kind of listen. David Bowie's actually a really good actor, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's
most
awesome
of the
in
stuff
the
that he was incredible. Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff.
What the hell was that movie we watched, Chris, in college? Like Mr. Whatever his secret.
Mr. Rice's
Mr.
secret.
Mr. Rice's. Yep.
I showed Joe half of that.
Mm.
Where he just, like, he just casually has the cure for cancer.
That was brutal.
That was his secret. It was like just the cure all.
The cure of just cure death. The secret for immortality.
It should have been called, like, Mr. Rice's Fuck Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not giving this to anybody.
Like, he really did not help anyone but the one kid, but even the one kid, like, he didn't do anything right for it until, like...
He just, like, took it and then was like, all right, I'm cured.
No, he gave it to some other kid, remember? Because he's like, I beat the cancer, this kid might not, so...
Yeah.
I'm, like, spoiling a kid's movie, because it's, like, that's the whole plot,
yeah.
But, like... I'm saving you time, because Bowie's in it for, like, 10 minutes, and the rest of the movie is, like...
It's like this wacky billionaire eccentric guy who, like, sets up the scavenger hunt to find the most important medical breakthrough of probably mankind history.
And it's like the scavenger hunt is really like bizarre. It's not just like go lift this rock, talk to this person. It's like, hey, dig up my body. Like
exactly. Oh yeah, break into my house.
Yeah.
Like,
break into my house. Yeah, like trespass on this guy's lawn. Like, oh my god.
Live in my house. What?
Fly to Antarctica and meet this person.
Get into a stranger's van.
Kill your parents. What? I demand sacrifice.
Yeah, but whatever, Bowie, if he ends up in a Hannibal, I'm sure it's be awesome, because that is one of the best shows it's on right now, so you guys should definitely check that out at some point.
I know, I gotta. When they add it to Amazon Instant, I will definitely check it out, because I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's coming. They made, like, a huge deal out of the fact that it's going to be on there.
So, moving on to other news, apparently Vin Diesel had a meeting earlier this week with Marvel. They sort of alluded to on like Twitter or something, or his Facebook page like a week or two ago, and then he put up this like it's kind of like the most thinly veiled like reference to what character he's like talks for, because like he's standing in front of like the Avengers like comic book cover. He's like, just talked to Marvel. Glad I finally got to do this, because you know I get tunnel vision from working too much or something. It's like basically just like wink wink vision.
Yeah.
And then in front of Avengers, so I think pretty much everyone is assuming like he was in talks to play Vision in Avengers 2.
He's too bulky to be Vision.
No. Honestly, look at him next to The Rock.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, he's really not that bulky. Like usually when he's next to fucking like Killian Murphy or like whoever like whoever he's next to, they're like, oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh my god, he's a bodybuilder, like, he's huge, like, he's really not. Like, he's a solid-looking dude, but at the end of the day, like, if you put him next to The Rock, it's like, well, that's off the table, you know?
Yep.
Like, during that, like, crazy fight in Brazil in, like, Five Fast, Five Furious, like, you know, come on. I was kind of like, yeah. Really? Like, he got a shot off on The Rock? Come on, man.
And then The Rock, like, just, like, slams him through a brick wall.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, yeah. he's the daddy, like... But yeah, I could see him as Vision.
Mm-hmm. He's already been an awesome robot as the Iron Giant.
This is true. He's got a rich tradition of being...
robotic.
robotic and non-human.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be pretty cool, actually. Whoever he winds up being, I mean, I hope it's badass, obviously. But...
And then they could set the whole, like, insane, like, Scarlet Witch Vision thing and everything.
Yes, that would be cool.
Because Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to be in Avengers 2, so...
They sure are. And you know what? One thing I'll say about Marvel is that, by and large, their casting has been tremendous.
Yep.
Like, they basically got the living embodiment of the comic book Tony Stark
in
Robert Downey Jr., and then everything else has been pretty excellent. I mean, I would have been literally offended if anyone other than Scarlet, you know, was Scarlet Joe... was Black Widow, because she's a whole lot of woman.
If it was like Mila Jovovich or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'd finally make good on my promise to kill Mila Jovovich to prevent future Resident Evil movies from happening.
Isn't like 7 coming out this year?
Oh, don't talk to me about that. Resident Evil died with Resident Evil 4, as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking about the video game, not even the movies.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of zombies,
ooh.
So we learned this week that they're possibly going to be a remake of Day of the Dead coming sometime in the near future.
Okay, yeah, another remake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this one will get past the right-to-video thing.
So apparently the producers behind Texas Chainsaw 3D have got the rights to Day of the Dead and are trying to get a movie off the ground. Currently looking for some writers right now.
I'm available. my problem with Day of the Dead is that it's like too contained. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's in it takes place in that weird like mine shaft or whatever. Like, and I understand that the whole premise of the movie is that like the world above is like overrun with zombies, and like It's kind of like a Planet of the Apes thing, but replace the apes with zombies.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like no chance for life up above. But I kind of hope that we see that life up above a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't mind a, like, Last of Us-esque storyline either. Because I think Day of the Dead, like, has to be reinvented a little. Like, personally, I think the most interesting part of Day of the Dead is the opening sequence. That first, like, 6 minutes where they're, like, helicoptering through and you just see how, like, hopelessly overrun, like, the city is with zombies.
Yeah. I know, I was reading an article before World War Z came out, because they were talking about,
good zombie movies?
Well,
oh.
World War Z wasn't bad, if you guys go see it.
I play.
But yeah, they're talking about, like, how, like, Land of the Dead, and how, like, that was good, like, if it had, like, because George Romero wanted it to be, like, basically, like, World War Z, of just, like, the entire globe is just engulfed in zombies.
Right.
But then they're like, well, if we can give, we can give you the money for that, but it has to be PG-13. And he's like, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
So kept it R, and they had like half the budget they wanted, and then it was just like basically down to like one city or something that you saw in Land of the Dead.
Well, Land of the Dead, the premise was nice, but then like it got really stupid fast with like evolving smart zombies.
Mm-hmm. Then,
which I recently saw Land of the Dead. That's why.
That was kind of there in Day of the Dead with Bub,
yeah,
the zombie, mm-hmm, where they're trying to like domesticate him.
Mm-hmm.
Or well, really, they're not trying to domesticate him. They're trying to like bring him back. But in the process, he just winds up being like kind of a smart dog.
Yep.
You know, where it's like, wow, that dog knows his name. Like
he can salute us.
Yeah, that's cool. He could salute, and then I mean, no spoilers, but he actually winds up like coming through in the clutch. But
yeah.
You know,
let's get Andy Serkis to be the new Bub.
Yeah,
CG Bub.
Cool.
And he just does like Smeagol voice or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, guys, I can actually just put on makeup. No, we're gonna CG you into this thing.
Yeah, get into your skin tight bodysuit with the balls on it, Andy Serkis. All right, just goes back to his car, grabs it. He always has it. Yeah, so that may come out sometime in the near future. We'll keep an eye on that one. And then moving on to sort of glimpses of what we might expect at Comic-Con next week, because that is coming very soon. There's a Godzilla, like the Godzilla viral marketing campaign is getting into full swing a little bit.
Yes.
So they put up around like San Diego, people have been spotting like crazy, like, oh my god, this wall got scratched by a giant monster, or something. Like they put up like a bunch of like wall art on buildings around the convention center and stuff. And they also launched a Tumblr called Godzilla Encounter, which is putting up like these like news articles about some strange sightings that have occurred off the San Diego coast of the ships coming into San Diego for an event next week. Have seen some crazy. Like a black iceberg or something.
And then the iceberg saw them.
Yeah. According to the Japanese captain whose ship got sank.
Exactly. Dude, I'm fucking obsessed already. I hate to admit it, but this is like the Cloverfield viral all over again. Yeah.
You know, we should reverse it and just like spam them with like Godzilla. What, 99? Like viral marketing?
Size matters. Just
keep blowing it up. You're like, holy shit, we saw it. And then, like, it's the Taco Bell dog.
Yeah.
I think I need a bigger box.
And then play the Puff Daddy company.
Oh my god. It's like,
yeah.
Post on their Tumblr, come just like put it. That video on there and stuff. And
like, oh my god, I got the Godzilla for a sneak peek. And it's just like the music video.
Man. I've talked about it before on this podcast, but on New Year's Eve, I guess 1998, like right before Godzilla came out in July, they had this awesome teaser that was like a countdown to the new year with the ball dropping and everything, and then Godzilla just kind of fucking shows up,
mm-hmm,
and shit gets real, as they say, but it was perfect. It was so awesome, and then that movie was just so completely the opposite. and so terrible. Like, that shit was on, like, TBS or something this past week, and I watched,
it's
like...
It's AMC all the time now, for some reason.
Okay, it was AMC then, yeah. But it was on AMC, and, like, man, I watched, like, maybe 15 minutes of it just because I, like, had nothing better to do, and it was depressing.
Mm-hmm.
It really fucking was, but...
Dr. Ixtapolis.
Oh, my God. Come on.
This is how you make a bad Godzilla movie, when like, 70% of the plot is about the science behind Godzilla and the romantic issues between the scientists and, like, a news reporter. Mm-hmm.
And his
never a good Godzilla.
College, like, his former college fuck buddy.
And Godzilla is, like, spontaneously growing eggs
pregnant.
And stuff, yeah.
Asexual, and then fucking, like, Leon the Professional is there, just kind of, like,
yep.
Being
that's like a
of this,
totally
like,
different
comedic.
Movie, too.
Because France is like, well, we created it, we must clean it up.
Like, yeah, but
the
it's
most,
like...
most proactive France has ever been in anything.
In anything ever,
yeah.
Other than, like, speaking baguette.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, man, it's just so, like, it's so bizarre, because they're, like, the comic relief, but I'm like, no, they actually just, like, admitted to having, like, hideous nuclear secrets. Like, someone needs to put them on trial.
Yes.
Like, for fucking war crimes, and like, oh, the French, like, nah, like, every time they're on camera.
They called him Nasty.
Yeah, exactly. The French roast. I'm like, you know what? They actually created the single biggest threat to humanity since, like, the devil himself.
Yeah.
So, maybe someone should get in trouble.
This giant nuclear iguana.
In comparison, Godzilla walk around New York was, like, 2 9/11s, like, walking around, destroying shit, and, like, causing so much chaos.
Let's
9/11 times two.
Let's damage the right. Superman.
All right, but like he did
yeah,
this.
Really.
Freaking Godzilla did this, knowing the French was responsible, knowing that France knows they're responsible. In the end, he's kind of like, okay, bye, and like, yeah, just leave.
We just came to watch what the United States does. We cannot control the beast.
I take no responsibility. Bye.
Yeah.
Just leaves.
And then it was like, you remember the cartoon where he was like. Still there, but like kept like kind of like slowly trying to sabotage them the entire time, like because mm-hmm. he like he was like weird like apprentice with them, like the weird French chick. He was like spying
yes,
them,
on the
spying
ship.
Them the entire time.
Mm-hmm. I didn't finish. I remember the series vaguely, but like I just remember they just found like a baby Godzilla and trained it to be like
yeah, well,
a good
it was
Godzilla.
The egg that they left at the end of the movie. They find that, and then it imprints on Nick because it's the first person he sees. So, like, he thinks Nick is, like, his mother or something.
Yeah.
They had, like, a stupid robot that got blown up every episode.
How? Why is that on Netflix yet?
It is.
Oh, my God.
I'm
watching that.
The only good thing about that cartoon is, like, it did bring back some, like, classic Godzilla villains, and they did, like, a whole, like, crazy, like... Like destroy
well, the
all
cartoon
monsters.
Is better than the movie.
Oh, by far, yeah.
Yeah, like
the same company did like the Men in Black cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, I am all over this. Mm. I think that this lends itself perfectly to this kind of viral marketing campaign, and I really hope that it continues like through the release of the movie, which I'm sure it will. But,
I just hope we get something kind of big next week, like an actual like a first trailer or some sort of footage or something on Saturday.
Well, here's the thing. I would be absolutely shocked if they didn't have something with Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
But I've heard nothing. So it's either the single best kept secret in like Hollywood history, or there's really nothing before Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a huge, like, missed opportunity, especially when you consider that it's been over a year now, or just under a year, maybe, like, off by a week, but whatever. Like, last year's Comic-Con, they showed, like, a minute teaser that was literally just, like, thrown together, like, test footage,
yeah.
Essentially, for this thing. And I don't think that it would... put them like set them back too much to you know spruce that up a little bit and just show that
yep
you know like you don't need to cut like a full trailer or anything like that. I mean the people who like want this movie just want something you know
yeah
and then people who don't even know that this is happening will just see, oh, destruction. Oh, a giant lizard roaring in the dust of a crumbling building. This must be Godzilla. And then, sure as shit, it's Godzilla. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I mean, if anyone wants some awesome Godzilla stuff, IDW did this, I think it wrapped up like a month or two ago, but they had like this awesome miniseries called Half Century War, which is basically like this one dude, like this one Japanese dude for like 50 years, like him battling Godzilla and like working with this team to like take down Godzilla.
Cool.
It, and the art name was like ridiculous. Like it was crazy awesome art and everything. So, and some like, they brought back some classic Godzilla monsters and everything. So,
sweet.
Check that out if you're a fan of Godzilla. So, moving on to other news. Apparently, Fox is going to be making a pilot for a new show based on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ah, Trebek.
Yes, the final movie of Sean Connery.
Jesus.
No, actually, it's not his final. It's just, I think it's final, like, live action.
Yeah, he voiced that weird, like, Scottish Beaver movie or whatever that thing was. The anime movie.
Scottish Beaver. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you're going to shoot a pilot, and then it, I don't know, it probably won't be this TV season, this, like, fall season, but maybe, like, late spring next year or, like, next fall. If it even gets picked up, it might not even get picked up, but they commissioned the pilot.
Now it's a good time, because, like, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was a fantastic, like, idea of taking, like, of famous
especially
works
in, like, our, in, like, our post-Walking Dead, post, like, Game of Thrones world that we're living in.
Yeah, and, like, when, like, geeky shit like that works, and it works on so many levels, because it's, like, it's traditional geeky, it's literature geeky, and, like, visually, the novel, like, it progresses. Like, the movie doesn't do it justice how, like, awesome the series gets, like, throughout the time.
Yeah.
Like, I stopped reading it when Bond was in it. Like, James Bond was in the series.
Yeah.
As, like, a dude that just, like, was like, yeah, I work for MI6.
Is that, like, a weird, like, because they did, like, the second, it was, like, kind of, like, the second series where it was, like...
Yeah, with Quartermain Main Returns, where it's, like, his younger...
It was, like, the Black Files or something.
Something like that, like, Black Dossier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, the second group, because, like, in the series, a lot of people, like, die. Like, a lot of the team gets destroyed, and then it's, like, because it's, like, at the end, it's, like, it's their ultimatum where, like, they fight, like, the aliens from the world of the
yes.
War of the mm-hmm. Worlds.
Yep.
And, like, they have to, like, reassemble their team. And so they have to go out and scout for new, like, obscene, like, not obscene, but just, like, kind of, like, this is who they pick, like, really random... historic figures to help.
Yeah.
So, like, that was awesome, and I don't understand why, like, you know, this took them a while. Like, I guess it had to take a while for, like, other series to pick up before they're like, okay, now we can try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
now, like freaking, like, Downton Abbey is, like, super popular. Like, people are on board for, like, weird Victorian English... And there's like there's also like two BBC like action cop shows set in that time because you have Copper and Ripper Street, so it's like that like a show like that but with like historical literacy superheroes would be crazy.
Marvel 1602, do it, pussies, come on.
Oh man,
even better. Awesome. Except it would confuse a lot of people.
Oh my
Sir,
god,
PJ
it would.
Of Paca.
It was so
I actually like Marvel 1602.
Yeah, it was good.
It was nice.
Come on, do it.
Although Marvel just goes like, if they have like 1602 and they have like 2099.
Yeah.
All over. They've always existed.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Marvel and like classic literary characters, like,
oh Jesus,
I think they just put like, I think they just collected it, but Deadpool Killustrated. Have you guys seen that?
I have.
Where he just like goes and like murders all the fictional characters because yeah. They're like the basis for the Marvel characters. Like it was after, so he killed all the Marvel superheroes, and he's like, "Well, they're still gonna come back because there's all the alternate dimensions. So I'm gonna go kill like the source of all those alternate dimensions." And then it's like, mm-hmm. like Sherlock Holmes and like Mulan and all these other like characters get like assembled to like stop Deadpool.
Jesus.
And it was like yeah, it was like Sherlock Holmes and Watson and then like Beowulf and like all these other like crazy like heroes from literature and then like then hunting him down through time.
Nice.
Craziness.
Yeah.
So,
but that's Deadpool, mm-hmm. and that's why we love him.
Yep. So, last bit of news for this week is that, so Lone Ranger came out this weekend and was a huge, huge disaster. I don't think people are saying not quite John Carter level, but very, very close. Apparently there's reports come out that Disney could lose over $150 million on Lone Ranger.
Which to Disney isn't really that huge of a deal,
it's
but
it's kind of balanced
still
out because like Iron Man 3 made like $1 billion, so
yeah,
but yeah,
you're actually not exaggerating. But
yeah, so obviously like not like they're still trying to like figure out like we need a new Pirates of the Caribbean, and they've had like two just awful, awful disasters trying to do it.
I mean, here's the thing: like it probably was. Because, like, another... Wasn't there, like, another kid's movie? Yeah, Despicable Me 2 came out. So...
Yeah, I mean, Disney was, like, putting this up as, like, this is the movie of the summer. This is gonna be... It's a giant Depp Pirates of the Caribbean team. How can this fail? Answer is, pretty badly.
Yeah. Well, we kind of assume because it's like, oh, Lone Ranger. Like, I like that show when I was
it's,
2.
It's kind of the same thing of, like, John Carter, where it's like, the fans are, like, 60 and 70 year old men who read like Lone Ranger comics or like listen to the radio show or something. It's like no kid or anyone living like no one around who would be going to movies right now would be interested in like Lone Ranger or knows who Lone Ranger is.
I actually really like the Lone Ranger, so I would have been okay. interested in it. So, but, to kind of go with what you're saying, like because I know who the Lone Ranger is, I know how far away this is from what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so that's...
And I'm kind of like you've isolated everybody, because either people don't know what the fuck it is, or people know what it is, and they're like,
that isn't
this isn't
it.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
So then you get, like, 50, like 25 million people, $25 of people coming to see it for your $250 million movie.
Yeah. Essentially... Essentially.
And it also got like
I'll see it. I'm not gonna like go out my way to avoid it.
Zach and I were talking before the podcast. Like it looks like it could be stupid and fun or whatever. Like it's probably like one of the later Pirates of the Caribbean sequels where it's like, ah, you know what, it wasn't the greatest and the others are definitely better, but this wasn't like, you know, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
Like I'm not furious after leaving. But like Zach made a really good point in that it's really long too.
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? So, like, we don't really understand. We were talking a little bit before we went on. Like, for some reason, there's just this sort of, like, unwritten rule nowadays that for a movie to be, like, a serious movie or be taken seriously, like, it has to be, like, this epic, like, 2.5 hour thing. I don't really think that's the case, but for some reason, that just seems to be this, like, upsetting trend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially for movies that don't really have a lot to say, like... Oh, I don't know. The Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like you're not, like, Schindler's List or something. Or, like...
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Godfather or something, where, like, you're telling this,
exactly.
like, epic story.
Like, at least with a movie like Man of Steel or, like, The Dark Knight, or even The Dark Knight Rises, like, there was a lot of shit they had to wrap up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, yeah, it still drags, but it's kind of like, okay, like, I could justify that being as long as it was, but, like, the Lone Ranger, like, you could have said everything you had to say in 1.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's like, opening action sequence, oh, he's a Lone Ranger, final action sequence, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm sure we'll check it out at some point, but, it's just, Disney is just not doing well with their live action stuff that's not Marvel.
Yeah.
And who knows about Star Wars?
Huh.
Although I saw a report, someone, like, people were saying, like, oh, Star Wars Episode 7 is going to have, like, $1 billion opening. Or it could have $1 billion opening or something.
Oh, it's 20 years in the making, so maybe more. 20, more than 20 years. Like 25 years?
It's like, no. Well,
Phantom Menace was 99.
So yeah. I'm talking about, like, but, like, going back to, like, hey, let's try this again.
Oh, they
like,
can't do that anymore because they went back and did the prequels.
Well, I see, I that's what I think. When I think of, oh, they're making Star Wars, I don't think the last, like, three. I think of, like, from one.
Right. No, no, I know. I agree with you on that, actually.
Mm-hmm. So when I say that, like, I mean, oh, like, maybe they'll put more time into it and, like, actually develop, like, a good story.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
So I think that's pretty much it for news this week. Unless there's anything else you guys could think of that we need to talk about. Alrighty. So moving on to newest roundup of the week. And our pick of the week is Robot Chicken DC Comic Special.
Nice.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was incredible. Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the Bane thing? Where it was just like, I can't remember, like, he just came
with
Bane.
Yeah.
Bane. The running joke is just, like, breaking Batman's back every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not again.
And, like, just constantly making fun of Aquaman the entire time, and then he turns, like, he goes, like, the League of, oh, God, what's the evil league of, like, the villains?
The Legion of Doom?
Yeah, he goes to Legion of Doom, and, like, I'll tell you guys what the secret is and how to kill all those guys. And I also love like the when they're like highlighting obscure DC characters.
Yeah,
it was like that was awesome. It was like the Green Lantern Squirrel and like all these other people, and it was like Firestorm. Firestorm's like, I'm not obscure. I'm not a fucking Green Lantern Squirrel or something.
Yeah,
just walks off. Yeah, so that was great. That was definitely, like, if you like the Star Wars Robot Chickens, you'll definitely check out the DC one. Also, this week we have The Host, which is Twilight with Aliens.
And it wasn't it, like, halfway through it got really, like, what the hell is it? Like, there's a twist to it, and it got really stupid from what I heard. Did you read that?
Like, it's some stupid thing, like, the aliens take over your mind, but then, and they take, like, basically take over your personality, but then this one girl is, like, her personality is still there, so it's, like, fighting with the
alien or something. No, it's, like, yeah, it's either, like, both the alien and her love both guys or something.
They do, like, different guys or something.
But, like, they both are in love with, like, both of those guys, like, the alien, the host in her and her.
Well,
or,
like, she likes
was it, like, and then it turns out it wasn't, or
it's
something.
Like, she likes one and the alien in her. Hear like another one or something, so it's like this weird, like stupid love triangle thing.
Yeah, I was like, that's like the whole like gist of it. Like instead of being a regular like alien body like invasion of the body snatchers type movie, it has the weird like oh yeah, this one girl has like really bad emotions that the alien doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah,
like that's never good when like they point that out when the alien doesn't understand like women emotions and it confuses it.
It's also kind of insane that. Andrew Niccol directed this movie because he directed like Gattaca and like well and then like In Time and then like Knowing.
Yeah, he really loves fucking around with humanity.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, he has like no rhyme or reason to like any movie he directs.
Well, they're always like questioning society, like what if like you had bad genes or like what if. You can buy time. Or what if, like, this girl
what if
doesn't
all
know which guy she loves?
Oh, this is the Truman Show.
Oh, wow, that's... Okay.
And Lord of War.
Actually, Lord of War is pretty good.
Yeah, that is a pretty awesome movie. Nicolas Cage is the world's greatest gun dealer. And he's Russian, but has no Russian accent. Also this week, Legend of Korra, Book 1. The follow-up to Avatar Last Airbender. Apparently a lot of people like that show.
Well, it's good. Did you ever watch the original?
Nope. It's kind of on my list of, like, my back list of things to watch at some point.
It's, it's a, like, once you get over like the first like two episodes, it gets really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just need to watch it to like understand why. And then you need to watch the movie to be like really upset.
Yeah.
Like, if you just watch the movie,
like, movie already makes you upset. It's on a basic level because it's like an atrocity against humanity. But then if you like, if you're a fan of Avatar: Last Airbender, I'm sure it was just like. Like,
well, it's like, what if they made X-Men the movie, but then like Professor X was like a short black midget? Like, it's one of those things where like they wanted to be like different, and it got too different real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that you can't make a short black Professor X who's just a midget, but like it's not the same.
Yeah,
you don't call it Professor X.
Also, this week, Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
I don't remember that movie ever coming out in theaters.
It was out for, like, a week or two.
Yeah. It was there, I can vouch.
Mm-hmm. Apparently James Franco was amazing in it. With, like, his crazy grills.
I don't even know the movie.
Crazy grills.
Huh?
Is it supposed to be, like, a comedy? Or is it supposed to be, like, a drama?
Apparently it's, like, the four girls want to go on spring break, but they have no money, so they rob, like, a restaurant or something, or a bank, and then they go to Florida and get arrested, but then James Franco bails them out and is like, hey, you guys want to make more money? We'll go rob more banks or something.
That makes perfect sense.
Also, have cocaine if you'd like some.
Would you be interested in some of my cocaine? Yes, I would, good sir. Thank you. And a lovely day to you as well.
Yeah. We also have Warehouse 13 Season 4 out this week. That's still a sci-fi show.
It's still on.
That's still a thing.
I don't know how many more like crazy artifacts they could find. Apparently there's just like a million of them out there somewhere. Dead Man Down's out this week. The Colin Farrell, Numero Pas action thriller that came out from the guy who made the original Girl with Dragon Tattoos. Where it's like Colin Farrell's like a hitman who has to like help Numero Pas like kill Terrence Howard or something.
It looks okay.
Yeah, fuck
I'll probably Redbox it at some point this week. Admission's also this week. Tina Fey, Paul Rudd, romantic comedy.
Great.
Marvel Knights Wolverine Origin is out this week, which is the motion comic based on the Wolverine Origin comic. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix at some point pretty soon. Usually pop
I
right
hope
up.
So. I hope so.
Hands of the Ripper is on Blu-ray this week, which is a Hammer horror movie from the 70s where Jack the Ripper's daughter realizes she's Jack the Ripper's daughter and starts murdering people, I guess.
Oh, my dad too? Okay, and just goes around killing.
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Enter the Shredder is out this week. It's, I guess it's a bunch of episodes from Nickelodeon show around Shredder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen any of the Nickelodeon show?
I saw like a half an episode.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's like it's not as like super stupid as like the beloved 80s one was. Like, cause if you watch it now, it's like super super goofy. Mm-hmm. But it's still toward that end. It's not like the 2003 one where it's like super serious and to the comics and everything. It's kind of like in the middle of those. It's not like it's not as serious as like TMNT the movie either. It's kind of like more towards the original, but with, like, a little bit more action and more well-done action.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I could live with that.
And the Krangs are pretty hilarious in it, too.
Oh, good.
Because they talk into, like, this insane, like, they just, like, they all talk in, like, the third person to each other. So, like, Krang has seen this Krang. The ones who are called the Turtles have come to the place that is the place.
Good. Excellent.
Also have Street Trash on Blu-ray this week, which is a 80s sort of, apparently it's like kind of like Chud or something, or Toxic Avenger.
Mmm.
Like B-movie cult classic.
I'll be the judge of that.
Portlandia season 3 is out this week.
Thank God. I have not seen it, but I want to.
Trek Nation, which is a documentary about Star Trek fans, or just the creation of Star Trek, or basically just like all things Star Trek, I guess. Oh no, it's about, okay, it's mainly about Gene Roddenberry. Okay. I guess it's like a documentary slash bio about Gene Roddenberry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for this week for new releases.
Sweet.
So let's move on to what we've been watching over the last week or so. And Joe, what are you watching for show and tell?
Oh boy. So I started
as much
off
as last week.
No, not as much, but close. I watched I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With, which is a Jeff Garland film.
Okay.
Which was apparently made sometime in the early 2000s. It's pretty much just Jeff Garland being Jeff Garland, which is either awesome if you're into him or terrible if you're not into him.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Silverman is like the main love interest for most of the movie. And basically the movie just deals with like how crazy women are. And it also deals with, I mean, I think it's a loose remake of Marty, which is kind of funny because it's actually talking, a lot of the movie is centered around the fact that some studio is remaking Marty and he wants to be the title character of, you guessed it, Marty. So that was a kind of interesting storyline. Overall, it was actually a pretty funny movie. It's also kind of sad too. So again, that's part of the reason why it reminded me so much of the original Marty. And again, as far as loose debatable remakes go, this was actually pretty good. I also watched with Chris Cool as Ice.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a pretty bitchin' movie, actually. Like, it's awesomely terrible, but
it is. It's like it's on like the level of like Roadhouse or something.
Yeah. For sure.
Roadhouse.
Just in terms of like
it being ridiculous
and it's like so like it's just so amazingly bad that it's just like you can't help but love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree. I would definitely agree. It's rough. Like it's rough. I won't sugarcoat it.
So it's oh my god, yeah, it makes no sense at all. Nothing in that movie makes sense.
None, but it is extremely entertaining and extremely fun.
It's like injecting the 90s into your veins. In this-
oh, yeah.
Right into, like, the tip of your dick. Yeah. With a syringe, basically what it's doing.
The opening scene of, like, the wrapping and the clean factory was, nice throwback.
Such a clean factory.
And that the credits are in, like, the New Kids on the Block font or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, like, different colors and they're all coming in, like, bouncing into the screen and stuff.
Well, me and Joe were discussing, like, if I had to go to, like, a rap concert, if you consider, like, Vanilla Ice 90s rap was, like, real rap. But, like, if you had to go to, like, a rap concert not knowing the people and the culture, like, that was actually a good place to start. Like, it was very clean. There was no bar. Everyone was, like, just having fun and dancing.
Yeah.
No one was throwing a party. Like, it was kind of like, oh, we watch this, like, we hang out, we dance, and there's a guy on stage, and there's no, like, security to stop you from, like, running up there, but, like, no one did that. Like, it was very
no one's getting raped at that concert, you know what I mean?
Like, and we're like, oh, this is just the opening, and Vanilla Ice just plays Vanilla Ice. Like, he doesn't play a thug. He just, like, is some dude, and there's no backstory. Some guy.
I like how they're, like, it's a rap-oriented remake of The Wild One.
Yeah.
Is it The Wild One or Rebel Without a Cause? I always confuse the two.
By both.
I actually think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But it's definitely Wild One because even down to the name of the girl, it was Kathy in both movies.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it is about like a disapproving father.
Hey Joe, don't you mean Cat?
Yeah, my bad. I do mean Cat. But yeah, it you know. It's good for a laugh.
Oh, many, many laughs.
And, you know, I have to say, like, I'm not mad at this movie. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel wronged by watching it. Like, oh, I was expecting that to be far better. Like, you know, it's a fun, wacky movie. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Dude, I saw that movie when it first came out on VHS, man. Yeah. My parents legitimately rented that movie and were like, oh, this is going to kick ass. Because, like, Vanilla Ice was, like, the man back then. So I remember watching that shit when I was little and being like, man, one day I'll be that dope.
I love how he clearly had, like, maybe 10 pages of scripts, so, like, half the movie's just, like, montages and, like, music videos.
Montages and, like, him dancing or him, like, riding his bike around.
Yeah. There's that 20-minute, like, segment where it's just, like, at the abandoned construction site for no reason.
Yeah, let's just
or
chase
each
other
in the desert.
Like, Splinter Valley. Yeah.
This can be, this, like, artfully shut.
Do you know how to ride a motorcycle? No. Here, take the wheel. What?
Although my favorite part is, like, when he drips ice. Like, she's sleeping, and she wakes up, like, him dripping ice into her mouth.
It's very sexual.
And she's okay with this? Like, hey, this attempted rape was okay.
Like, how did you know that this is what I love? Like, oh, God. Okay.
Did he say something like he's just, like, because he's the Iceman or something? Is that... I can't remember what he says. Creepers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, drop that zero, get with the hero.
Says it right to her preppy boyfriend.
Yep.
Who, like, I like they portrayed him as, like, what if he wasn't, like, an 80s, like, late 80s, early 90s, like, preppy idiot? Like, what if he was just, like, some guy that was, like, really, like, down to earth and was, like, yeah, really nice to his girlfriend. But then, like, Vanilla Ice shows up and he's like, hey.
He turns into one.
You bad guy. Yeah, it's like, yeah,
he
actually
seems
becomes,
like, a pretty solid dude for most of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, like, drunk driving thing, like, whatever.
And then she's, like,
we've all been there.
And she's got some, like, crazy, like, she's, like, winning awards for horses and, like, has some crazy scholarship. And just, like, I'm just going to run with Vanilla Ice on this motorcycle now.
Yeah.
And, like, the wacky, like, the people live, like, across the street, like, the Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
But, like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, that was
weird. We also, like, assemble, like, can repair motorcycles.
Or, well, really can't assemble motorcycles for most of the goddamn movie.
Yeah,
the only reason they're in that area is because they broke the bike further. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't even know where Vanilla Ice was going. Like, where was he going?
Just cruising, man. Cruising next show. Go wherever the rep takes them.
It's so bad. Like, I just can't figure out, like, where are they going? Why are they here? Like, there's no reason.
Because they're going to that show, like, whatever the show they ended up at the end of the movie. Like, whatever, because apparently they're, like, a super popular group that just, like, rides around on motorcycles and raps at places.
Their agent sucks. Like,
they don't even have agents. Just, like, wander to town. And
they
people
just
like,
show up to clubs.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you need, like, an artist? Like, okay, like, we can be here.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
It's like, yo, it's me, Johnny, the Iceman.
Oh, why didn't you say so?
Please get on stage.
That makes plenty of sense.
I love, like, the club in that one in the town is just, like, this, like, super horrible, like, 50s soda shop. It's like, it's like,
they were in the 1950s. Yeah, like, what was that nonsense?
Yeah, there was, like, people in skirts and, like, preppy,
like, that was,
like, 50s
that,
attire.
That's, like, the hottest place to go for all the teenagers in that town. It's like, oh, man, that's called a soda shop. Vanilla Ice is like, let's drop this plate. We gotta drop a fat beat in this place.
That was a pretty fat beat that they dropped.
And we're just like, and all the people in the room are just like, what?
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Oh my god.
I'll give him that.
Is that movie, I think, wasn't that movie on Netflix? Is it?
Yep, it was. I remember
it
that's
was.
How we saw it.
No, I caught it on HBO. I
remember. No, remember like back when me and Zach saw it.
Oh yeah, it was on there for a long time.
In college, me and you watched it and like someone had like a laser disc transfer of it.
That's awesome.
Because it was on DVD, there was nowhere you could get it. It was just like, here's a laser disc of it, I guess.
I also do like the random like one fight scene where like it shows that he could fight.
Yeah.
Quasi. He beats up everyone in the parking lot.
And then doesn't fight like the corrupt cops or whatever at the end of it.
Well, no, they just like fall on them.
Yeah.
It was a different time back then when violence was like
the thought of it was wacky. Enough.
Yeah.
That's a commentary at some point. We had.
Oh, fuck, yeah, it is. Are you kidding me?
If we saw if we saw Hammer in One Man's Justice, we have to watch Vanilla Ice and Cool as Ice.
I think it's only right.
Yeah.
I think it's only right.
So, anything else, Joe?
Oh, you're not getting off that easy. okay, so I also watched Die Hard, Die Hard 2, and Die Hard with a Vengeance.
So, the Die Hard trilogy.
The Die Hard movies, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You haven't seen A Good Day to Die Hard yet?
No, have not.
Okay.
Have not even seen Live Free or Die Hard.
What?
Yeah. Does that look like a movie that you would want to see? Without, like, out of a, you know, out of anything but a sense of obligation?
Yeah.
Just how they continue the series?
It's all right. It's way better than A Good Day to Die Hard, I'll tell you that.
That's what I hear.
Raylan Givens is a cyber terrorist.
That's fine with me. But Die Hard, I don't think there's much that could be said about it other than that it's a fucking staple. And if you're like me and you haven't seen it in a long time, or if you saw it, the last time you saw it was on like TBS or TNT or, you know, one of those like late night.
Hopefully during Christmas.
Like, yeah, like late night, like it's kind of on in the background kind of movies. Like, you fucking owe yourself, man. Like, it's a really great movie. Definitely the best in the series for my
mind.
It's
one of our, like, it's one of our holy documents.
Oh, pretty much.
It's like Die Hard, Commando, The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Premiere
great,
2.
Great movie. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I actually do not enjoy Die Hard 2.
That's not very... And it's a popular opinion, Joe.
Yeah.
That was the worst one. Like, everyone was like...
I was going to say, I don't think I'm the only one.
That was like before Live Free or Die Hard came out, everyone was like, God, Die Hard 2 is the worst. And everyone was like, Die Hard came out, I was like, hey, Die Hard 2 is not so bad.
And then they were like, wait a minute, though.
Is it worse?
It tries too hard to, like, top the first one. Because, like, oh, man, if you thought we're going to have a super crazy plot twist and everything. And it's super, it's super complicated, like, what the villain's plan is. Because, like, the first one was, like, oh, everyone was, like, impressed by like, the twist of, like, oh, they're not really terrorists, they're just criminals and, like, all that stuff. So it's, like, well, what can we do to top that? It's, like, we'll have this, one, like, two groups that are aren't what they seem and everything, and then they have this crazy convoluted plan to get like this like dictator here or something.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff with like the switching the gun magazines and everything.
Oh hey, red tape means real bullets, blue tape means fake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it just was not a very good movie, to be honest with you, and it definitely didn't live up to like. One thing I'll say is that Bruce Willis and the character of John McClane, like, super consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Super consistent, like, in the best of ways. Like, they don't really fuck with his formula, and I'm glad they don't. Because, like, consistently, he's the best part of any and all of the movies. But, yeah, just the plot of the second movie, and it's just too much. Like, and it really just wasn't that interesting either.
Yeah.
It's like, but, so, like, that's
it. Colonel Stewart is no Hans Gruber.
Oh, absolutely not. But on the opposite end of that spectrum, we go back to Die Hard with a Vengeance, which I was actually a huge fan of. I think that this is obviously, you know, much better than 2, but I think it's more the sequel that, like, the first movie deserves. Yep. Like, other than the weird, like, racial aspect of it, which I just thought was a little bit, like, too at the forefront. You know what I mean? Like, just having Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis teaming up, like, you don't have to say it. Like, one's black, one is white.
Yeah.
There is tension here. Like, you don't have to constantly say, like, it's because I'm white, or, like, it's because I'm black. Like, it's not fucking guess who's coming to dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's the only thing that I really didn't enjoy about it, but I also like how they brought it back to the first movie, with it being, like, Hans's brother and all that stuff.
And the family tradition of bank robbery.
Yep.
The family tradition of just, like, horribly, like...
Overcomplicated.
Faded. Like, yeah, tragically overcomplicated terrorist plots.
Yeah. I love it's like basically like the like most insane like game of like Professor Layton or something ever too, or it's or like
oh, and it's so dated in one of, in the sense that this is a movie that with Wikipedia is just solved.
Yeah, if they had like an iPhone.
Who's the 21st president?
Siri.
How do we get 4 gallons of water? Yeah, pretty much. It's like you can't really remake that, but that's part of the charm. Was at the time people were like, "Oh shit, who was the 21st president?" People are looking at each other in the movies like, "I don't fucking know."
But, oh no, I was gonna say Ray Harlan did direct that because he directed too. Yeah. But like Ray Harlan tried to do it with like 12 rounds.
Hmm.
Which not.
Yeah, but I definitely enjoyed Die Hard with a Vengeance much more than Die Hard 2. On its own, I think it would be a great movie too.
Yep.
Like if that's where Die Hard had kind of like picked up, where that he's like a fuck up cop that like this guy kind of asks for, like, you know what I mean? Like someone can watch Die Hard with a Vengeance and not necessarily have to have seen the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, like you could just kind of say like, oh yeah, like he killed his brother like years ago and now he wants revenge. Like, okay, you're caught up. And now just sort of like watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely highly recommend Die Hard with a Vengeance. I'd say those are the two, like Die Hard and Die Hard with a Vengeance, hands down the strongest movies in the series.
Oh yeah.
Not having seen, of course, the latest two, but not really feeling the need to have to see them to be able to make the statement that I just made. So now on to the total like opposite side of the street. I saw the Toy Story short, Partysaurus Rex, which was fucking adorable. Like, I'm a big sucker for Toy Story. I love Toy Story. I'll say it. Like, it's definitely my favorite Disney franchise. Part of it being because, like, I was a kid when it came out. And in a way, I feel like that's my, like, Disney franchise that I grew up with. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, Partysaurus Rex was tremendous. It basically focuses around Rex, who Mr. Potato Head calls Party Pooper. But one night, Rex gets selected to go into the bathtub as a bath toy. And he meets this whole new cast of, like, bathtub characters. And, you know, they were really well designed and well thought out and everything. They had, like, their own identities and all that stuff. And it's, like, it's cool because you see how, like, all the different rooms in the house almost have like a different cast of characters. Like they don't necessarily intermingle with like the bedroom toys, but they have like a life all of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And really just an awesome, awesome short. It's basically like a big adult sort of tongue in cheek, like rave joke. But it's done in a really cool way. And, I mean, Rex is just an awesome character, too, and it's cute, and for, like, an 8-minute short, like, if this is how they're doing Toy Story for the next few years before they inevitably do a fourth movie, like, I'm totally fine with that, because I feel like it builds on, you know, not to sound, like, cunty and use the word, like, mythos for a movie like Toy Story, but, like, it sort of builds on the Toy Story universe and, like, keeps it alive and well, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, what are Woody and those rascals up to, you know?
I get that. I used to watch the Buzz Lightyear like TV show for the first like 5 minutes when they would absolutely. Like watch the show. Like that was awesome. And then like I did watch the Buzz Lightyear part, but
absolutely, man. I'm totally on board with that. I'm totally on board with that. Like I think that these characters in the universe that they created are like too special to too many people to just sort of like leave it alone. And I understand that they can't do a full fledged Toy Story every like year and a half to 3 years. That just doesn't make any sense. And in a way, that would devalue it, cheapen it, all that shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you do these shorts, like, I think that's fine. I think that's all they need. But definitely highly recommend Partysaurus Rex. I believe it was on Encore. It was either Encore or Stars on Demand that had it. But it's, like, on demand through, like, October. So that's where I saw it. And it was in, like, glorious HD surround sound, all that stuff. So definitely check it out if you haven't seen it.
I thought Small Fry was awesome, the one before the Muppets.
Ah, yeah, that was good too.
Like, it's like you can tell like exactly what like McDonald's Happy Meal toy they're parodying for every single one of them, and they're all like, it's like the Happy Meal toy support group that Buzz ends up in.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, they plan to keep doing more of these, and I'm totally happy about that.
Yeah,
I think that's just enough Toy Story to keep people being like, oh, I wish they'd do a fourth movie, you know, but not being like, oh, I can't believe they did a fourth movie, because people are, you know, they're tricky. Mm-hmm. They're tricky. Like, everyone wants another Toy Story until it's not as three. So, like I said, if you're a fan of Toy Story and you want to see what the gang has been up to, definitely check out Partysaurus Rex. It's cute and it's short, and I feel like it only makes a good series better. So, that being said, last and definitely least, I saw Identity Thief.
I also saw Identity Thief, Joe.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but I personally felt like it wasn't as bad as people were telling me it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it was pretty funny, you know, when it wanted to be. But when it was sad, it was, like, really depressing.
Oh, it was super sappy, which I was not expecting at all.
Very sappy. Like, it was a very sort of confused mood. Like, it didn't know what it wanted to be.
Like, just,
again,
like, it's
parts
just, like,
that were funny.
Oh, the beginning parts were really good. Where it's
hilarious.
Like,
the first, like, half hour of the movie is really funny.
Where they hate, like, just, like, Jason Bateman's like, why are all these, what are these charges coming up and everything? And
exactly. Like, that was pretty funny. But just, like, this woman's, like, awful past was really bad. And then, like, his life, like, unraveling because of it. Like, ugh.
Yeah, it's, like, there's, like, two or three, like, crazy, like, Melissa McCarthy monologues that happen where it's just, like, what is going on right now? But then it turns out that they were, like, not true or something. Because she's a liar.
Yeah. She's, like a pathological liar. So she's kind of like the Joker. It's like, you want to know how I got these scars? Like, you never know if she's telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. Like I said, the funny parts are really funny, and the sad parts are really sad. But, like, I kind of feel like it didn't successfully blend the two.
And then there was, like, the weird, like, they had, like, like, they couldn't decide, or they couldn't, they needed, like, some sort of conflict in, so they threw in, like, the two, I guess, like, mob enforcers or drug enforcers or something, and then, like, Robert Patrick as a crazy bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And, like, neither of those stories went anywhere, or made, like, did not need to be in the movie at all, really, because they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, like, as a follow-up to, like, Horrible Bosses, it was, like, pretty terrible.
Now, was it, like, it was, like, a spiritual successor, though, right? Like,
it was this, so, it was Seth Gordon, director of Horrible Bosses, this
is
follow-up to it.
Okay, but, like, I mean, like, it's not the same, I didn't catch on if it was supposed to be the same, like, universe or anything.
No, just like, this is his, like, next movie after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bosses. I think Horrible Bosses is definitely the better movie.
Yeah. And that one, like, Horrible Bosses was, like, pretty, like, it kept its edge the entire time.
Yeah.
This one just loses every all its teeth and everything by the end.
The first half hour is actually really decent.
Yep.
But after that, it's just not really that interesting. Not to sound like a total douche, like, it's just really not that interesting. And it's not terribly funny, and, like, it's almost, like, melodramatically sad.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, you don't even believe it. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, oh, well,
so,
that's...
So, as someone who hasn't seen this movie, like, what the hell is the third act? I feel like the first act is him finding out about the, like, identity problem.
The whole...
second act is confronting her, and the third is just, like, there's someone bigger? Like
no, the whole, there's another? The whole movie is, like, it, like, within half an hour, he's in Florida, and... has her, and then it's like a road trip movie back to get her in front of the police.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Due Date.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I would agree.
Same kind of basic thing of, like, two people who, like, hate each other, and then, oh, they learn to be friends, and they learn things from each other.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's definitely like that, but Chris, like, the whole third act, like, is literally just her, like, kind of coming clean, but also still being a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, but then Jason Bateman's like, oh, I'm learning confidence from you, and I can use this to my, to,
it gets
my
very,
life.
It gets very Breakfast Club-y, like,
yeah.
You know. I was like, this movie is missing a third act, like, I feel like I knew everything up until the point where it's like, then what? What does he do when he has her?
They just drive around and get into wacky hijinks.
Pretty much.
So I was like, what if Jason Bateman and like Justin McCartney just hung out, like Mr. McCartney just hung out, like driving.
Pretty much.
And I was like, that's the movie?
Yep. Well, they go like this horrible hotel and like that. I mean, that part's pretty funny where they go to the hotel, Joe.
Yeah, that was
Big Chuck.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I'll give you that.
And I did like the like running joke on the mascara. They just like kept saying like they're married, and then like Jason Bateman has no dick because he got burned off during a fire because he's a firefighter.
And like they keep bringing that up. Like, yep. That was really pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just so much that really like wasn't that funny.
Yeah, long stretches of just like meh.
Yeah,
it seemed kind of long too for a comedy. Speaking of,
I know earlier about
movies being long, I think it was like 2 hours or like a little over 2 hours.
Yeah, but it was a chore to like get through at times. Like, and again, really, not to sound like a douche, because like when the previews for this movie came out, I was like, oh man, that looks good.
Yep.
Like, I want to see that. Like, because I love Jason Bateman. Like, even if I don't care that people say he's Michael Bluth in every movie, who fucking cares? Michael Bluth is a tremendous character.
Yeah.
Like, what are you upset about? Like, if you don't like it, don't watch it. But that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm on board for that. And I thought that he was great. And I even thought Melissa McCarthy was great. It's just like the movie itself is so like, I don't know, like bipolar, you know, because it's either like really funny or like just terribly sad. And like, there's no sort of like in the middle.
Yeah.
There's no preparation. It just goes into it.
They both needed like their sort of like they needed like their groups around them. Like the Horrible Bosses group with Jason Bateman, like those three guys were tremendous together.
Yeah.
Or like Mr. Carthy needs like the bridesmaids sort of like the people to bounce off of or something.
I feel like she's a good like secondary character.
She's a great supporting actress.
Yeah.
Great supporting actress. And she's funny as hell. Like, she really is, but, like, you know what? This movie would have been more successful if it was just about her being, like, a terrible person.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard, like, a lot of people, like, complain about, like, saying about The Heat is, like, it's a little bit too much McCarthy, because, like, in Bridesmaids, she was, like, the side character that just like, kept popping in, like, just, like, hilarious, then, like, fade off, then hilarious, then fade off. Like, The Heat's,
It's
just, like, nonstop of just, like, it's kind of like a, like...
if you're just trapped with her for the whole day.
Yeah. It's like a surfboard started steak or something.
Yeah,
like,
and
fed up of steak after a while.
I'm totally on board with what Chris was about, or what I think Chris was about to say, is that Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, tremendous. But if you gave Zach Galifianakis his whole movie where that was it,
like Due Date,
which again was funny, but also suffered from a lot of the same problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, great, hilarious comedian. Excellent and bored to death, but even that, he's a supporting actor.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's not funny, because he's hilarious, but it's just that people like write what they think he should be doing, you know? Right.
Yeah, like here's some wacky Zach Galifianakis things to do.
Right, whereas most of the funniest stuff that he's done is ad-libbing stuff in The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of like, I know that it's not a successful business model to be like, hey, here's a blank check, just let Zach Galifianakis be Zach Galifianakis. Like, that's not how Hollywood works, but in a perfect world, I think we could have some really funny...
If you watch any outtakes with Melissa McCarthy, they are, like, insane. They're ridiculous. Like, oh, God, what the hell was the movie that just came out? Like, I think it was last year she was, like, a secondary character in.
Hangover 3?
No.
Oh.
I'll have to look it up. But, like, during the credits, there's, like, the scene where she's just going on for, like, five, 10 minutes, just, like, making up this crate. Like, I can't remember the name of the movie, but, like, what was
The Douche?
No, Knocked Up, but it was the sequel to Knocked Up.
Oh, This Is 40?
Yes, that's what it was. They're like, because they have to, they call them for like a parent teacher conference, and I think Mrs. McCarthy's like a teacher or something there. She's just like,
cool. I remember that from the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, she's going off for like 5, 10 minutes of like, I'm gonna punch you in the face. I'm gonna slam you to a truck. I'm gonna tie you to my truck, drive you around town. And then ripped your face. She's just going off like damage. It's like what she's gonna do? These horrible, horrible things. And like it's kind of like the Patton Oswalt, like his Star Wars rant, where it's just like he just keeps going and going and going. And then like at the end, they're just like completely like breaks down and starts laughing about it. Like it's like she goes off for like 10 minutes, and everyone's just like at the end of it, everyone's just like, oh my god, that was ridiculous. Yeah, Identity Thief, not very good.
Yeah, and again, like, it wasn't terrible. Like, I heard from so many, I heard from people who were, like, genuinely, like, mad about it.
It's like a crime against comedy.
They're like, oh, this movie was so bad. I'm like, man, I wasn't upset at it. I just wish it had been a little bit funnier or a little sadder. You know, but it was just, like, too schizophrenic for me. And again, personal taste. But that's pretty much what I've been watching. How about you, sir, other than Identity Thief?
Which side are you pointing to?
Either, sir.
I guess I'll go. I only watched, like, one other movie that
Guys
did see.
Go ahead, Chris.
I saw Land of the Dead.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't good again. Like, it did not age well with time.
Ooh.
Pretty much...
No one likes to hear that.
Yeah, like, pretty much, the concept of the movie is, like, what if... You know, there actually was, like, a city that was well fortified, and people were actually, like, paid to scavenge. Like, it was a nice idea. Like,
it's like decades after the zombies had taken over, so it's just, like...
Yeah, it's a few generations. Like, at least two or three were, like, people pretty much understood the basics. It's actually going... I liked it because when I was reading The Walking Dead, like, it was aiming towards that. Like, what if we fortify a position? What if we didn't just, like, survive, but actually, like, prosper? Like, I like that idea.
Oh God, what's the name of the town?
What?
That the governor runs.
Oh, I forgot in the comic. But in this movie, they called it Fiddler's Green.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Run by Dennis Hopper.
Run by, like, the first person who got there was, like, I don't know how he, like, cultivated the town. Like, he was just like, I'm generic rich man, and I use money somehow to, like...
How does Dennis Hopper become leader of anything?
Yeah, it's weird, because, like, all he's greedy, but, like, I don't understand how, like, wealth works in society anymore.
He's like the king of water
world. It was resources, yeah. Because he has, like, this, like, fortified... fortress, basically, that you know, it's high up, so people are like, oh, even if the zombies get in, like, what are they gonna do? Like, they can't get to us. We just put the elevators on lockdown and there are no stairs. And it's also like luxury living, so all of George Romero's movies are like societal commentaries.
Yeah,
like they're all over the place. Like the fact that Dawn of the Dead takes place in a mall is not is not a mystique. You know what I mean? Like he's talking about
the American. Right, but at least that was like the subtlety was good, but like it was not like beating me over the head.
Right. This he's talking about, at least my interpretation of his interpretation, is that he's talking about people who just are after that like luxury high rise sort of lifestyle where it's like that life of constant dick measuring. You know what I mean?
I guess it was too funny about, like, just, like, what the purpose was. Because I was like, wouldn't the people just, like, there's a lot more people outside than in. So wouldn't the people outside just be like, well, what if we just shut everything outside to your building? And then what?
Well,
like,
I think the lesson is that we all die the same.
Yeah, well.
You know, is that, like, no matter how good your provisions are, like, or no matter how much money you have or, like, how affluent you are, like, at the end of the day, like... The zombie's gonna fucking get you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean,
I think it did a great job.
I kind of didn't have to use the like third plot line in the movie because the first plot line's like the hell's his name, Riley Bendo, like the guy Simon Baker was playing.
Yeah,
he really wants to go to like the north, just to check it out, like just to move there. And then there's like John Leguizamo's character, who I just referred to as John Leguizamo, like I didn't
the bother. Past.
Yeah, like, the pest, who just wants money and just, like, drive around in that big-ass, like, truck, like, killing truck thing. And then you got Dennis, and then you got, like, besides Dennis Hopper, like, you got the wandering zombie that, like, became smart. Right. His name was, like, Otis or something, like...
I forget, but yeah, he, like, evolved or whatever.
Well, he realized, like, he's, like, apparently, eventually, like, zombies, like, just go about their, like, natural instincts they did in real life, which I'm like, okay, I kind of make sense. Like, just, like, muscle memory.
Is he like the brain gremlin? Gremlins 2?
Well, worse. It's like, he just... But, like, at least the brain one was, like, he could talk and, like, he was smart. This is just like, wow, he discovered, like, sharp objects, or, like, he can walk in water, or, like, he
he was aware about, like, zombie people. Like, it was...
He was the really first, like, self-aware zombie, which was, like, he starts, like, a revolution, kind of. He's like, hey, if you dummies would stop, like, standing around fences, like, he's we like, could break through it.
He's like, is he like the guy from Warm Bodies?
Kind of, yeah.
No,
like, instead of, like,
no,
yeah.
No.
It's not like, there's no reason why this guy is special. It's just kind of like, I did this, like,
listen,
you know?
Basically what he's showing is that, like, what would happen if evolution had to happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Because really, when you look at them, the zombies are, what, super fucking primitive, right? Well, you would have to suggest that if evolution is, like, a real and valid thing, which, you know, most people are kind of on the same page about, that, like, even if it's not how we got here, like, shit evolves over time. Like, you can't really fuck with that. Like, what would be the first evolution towards intelligence or, like, heightened intelligence for zombies? And it's basically this guy who sees, like, Chris, I forget what it is, but it's like a lake or a river, like some body of water. He sees that between him and where he wants to go. And he's like, fuck it. Like,
no,
I'm gonna walk through
it. He sees the reflection of the tower in the water.
Right.
And he's like, ooh, pretty, and falls in the water. And then realizes that he can survive in it. I was like, okay. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it wasn't like evolution, like, he thought about it. It's kind of like he got really fucked
up. No, you're right. But by that same token, like, he's adapting. So
okay,
he's evolving. And then by the end of the movie, he's, like, passing it on to other zombies. Like,
which I didn't understand, like, he's just kind of, like, moaning, and they're like, oh, I get it now. Like, oh.
That was a little bit strange, I'll give you that.
Especially when he teaches him how to use guns, or, like...
Yeah, that was a little much.
Or a jackhammer, like, really weird. Like, I get it, like, but I'm like, oh, this is after Dawn of the Dead remake. So I'm like, that was an awesome zombie movie. This is, like, the follow-up, and they're like, this is nothing like it.
Yeah, no, I know.
So it disappoints me on that level. Like, I saw this in theaters, thinking, oh, hey, like, maybe it should be, like, that kind of concept, like, fortification, survival, like, prosperity, hope. I'm like, okay, it's here, like, very small. But the fact that, like, there's Dennis Hopper is just, like, generic, greedy man, like, and his end goal was confusing. Like, he just wanted to be in charge, even though he didn't do anything, like. You know, he didn't actually, like, oh, like, hey, you do well, like, here's a bunch of meat, or, like, here's money, like, he just kind of, like, is in charge, you know?
Right, right.
And then, I don't know, like, some of the characters I did like, especially when there's this big Hawaiian dude gets involved in the movie, like, near the end,
mm-hmm.
where, like, they're assigned, like, guards to, like, the pest steals, like, this death machine that is this giant, like, RV full of, like, rockets, and they're threatening to shoot the tower if they didn't give them money to leave. Like, that's what I mean. The concept of greed in this movie is, like, the overarching theme instead of, like, zombies. I'm like, okay, John Romero, like, you didn't have to do this. You made a successful zombie movie that didn't have, like, greed. Well, I could be wrong how I interpret the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
Because, like, no one was like, hey, I'll give you $20 if you do this. Like, no one does that in that movie. So why are they doing it like this where, yeah, I'll give you gas and... Well, actually, gas is actually pretty cool. Like, that made sense. But the whole concept of, like, leaving this place and exploring, okay, that's cool. Why don't we do that? But we don't get to that point until the end, and by then, it's like, the movie's over. Where it's like, oh, I kind of want to... see what's out there and explore the land now that it's been, like, ravished.
At the risk of sounding like a total dick, I love George Romero. Mm-hmm. I love his movies, but they all suffer from something. Like, what do I mean by that? Like, there hasn't been one George Romero movie that I'm like, my God, that was perfect. Like, I love that. Like, there's always something where I'm like, I wish that had been a little bit different, or like, like, it kind of fizzled out at the end, you know? Like,
Dawn of the Dead was like...
Dawn of the Dead was great. Night of the Living Dead, though, like, the problem with it is that it does not hold up well at all. Like, the remake that has Tony Todd in it, like, I don't mean to sound blasphemous here, but I'd be more, like, inclined to show that to someone
mm-hmm.
who wanted to get into George Romero and be like, yeah, this is basically his movie. Like, almost, like, you know, shot for shot, just about. But it's just a little updated or whatever. But, like, even Dawn of the Dead, like, has that giant sort of, like, lull in the middle of it, where you're like, so what are we gonna do? And then they kind of figure shit out at the end.
Oh, the montage, like, hey, let's have a dance party.
Living life in the mall, it's so cool. Like, we're doing all sorts of stuff.
I always forget, like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a pregnant zombie. Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of shit going on.
But, here, in this movie, like, the... You know, like, you could tell, like, Walking Dead was inspired by a few things about, like, scavenging and, like, roles and, like, how humanity, like, has to struggle.
Oh,
it's kind of like, you know, like, it's like a war movie almost half of the time.
Yes.
Where, like, you know, like, it's kind of like, okay, we need to explore this danger zone. Let's go, like.
What's, like, all of World War Z, the book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the real World War Z, yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's what I liked about this, and then, you know, War War Z was way better, and unfortunately, War War Z, the movie, was nothing like this.
Yeah.
So, like, if they titled this War War Z, I think this would have been, like, way better. I know it's kind of hard, but you gotta imagine they tweaked a few things.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's not my favorite zombie movie, of course, but... Just to see, like, zombie John Leguizamo for, like, a minute, that was kind of cool.
It's all worth it.
It's all worth it in the end. Or, like, oh, cool, he's a zombie now. And then it's like, well, hope you die.
Bob Hoskins just jumped on his head or something.
Luigi Mario, no!
I got the ba-bomb.
Yeah, that's another thing I didn't realize. Like, holy shit, it's Koopa.
The reunion of Koopa and Luigi.
Yeah, and then, you know, Mario shows up and they all blow up in the car.
Ba-bomb!
Did you see this movie, Zach?
I've seen parts, but I haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah, it's... Nothing happens for, like, half the movie. So, you're not missing
that. That's what I've heard. Like, the trailers were, like... I think everyone was pretty psyched about the trailers, and then it came out, I was like... That was okay.
Well, the trailer shows you the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie all chopped up, and you're like, oh. Then you see the movie, you're like, okay, like, that was the rest of the trailer. Like, yep. Now what? And that's back when, like, trailers didn't reveal that much. Like, you couldn't really tell the plot.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, different time.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Zach? What did you watch?
I watched a couple things besides Identity Thief. I finally saw Super.
Finally saw it? You never seen it?
Yeah. Well, it just came back. I think it just came back or just finally got onto Netflix. So that's why.
It just came to Instant.
Yeah. Because I was meaning to see that, like, the year it came out, which is, like, I think it was, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Like, it was, like, the same year as, like, Kick-Ass came out or whatever.
Like, 3 years ago.
Yeah. But yeah, that is a... super great, super, super dark movie.
Surprisingly. It's really, like, surprisingly dark real fast.
Yeah. Especially, like, because, like, James Gunn, he did Slither before that, and Slither was, like, this, like, wacky sort of, like, B-movie. It's, like, B-sci-fi movie, and then this is, like, super, super dark, like, not even, like, superhero movie, just, like, vigilante movie. And, like, not shying away from, like, horrific violence of, like, this is what would actually happen if you smash someone in the face with a wrench.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, especially, like the one guy who, like, cuts in line at the movie theater and, like, he changes into his, like, his Crimson Bolt outfit and, like, smashes
in his car.
Face.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, dude, I just saw you changing. No. And you can just, like, see, like, a dent in his head afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, well, I like how he hits him and he hits his wife. And I was like, that was
awesome. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was nuts.
You don't cut in line!
Don't touch kids. Don't sell drugs. Like, I love that montage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't touch kids.
And, like, Kevin Bacon is hilarious in it as, like, Jacques, the world's, like, I don't know, like, I guess he's a drug dealer.
Yeah, he's a drug pusher.
Yeah. But, like, kind of, like super nice a little bit.
He's very calm in the beginning. It just, like, escalates really fast near the end.
Good eggs. And then Michael Rooker is, like, his henchman who's, like, constantly eating, like, Good and Plenty's or whatever he's eating and, like, listening to his iPod.
There's parts where, like, I thought he would actually stop being, like, a villain or say something.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's got the look where he's like, I hate doing this. Like, he has that pain in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that goes nowhere.
Yeah. And it's a lot of super weird, like the whole, like, he gets, like, the message from God where it's, like, octopus, like, tentacles open up his brain and everything, and, like, he gets, like, the message of, like some of us are chosen or whatever.
Yeah, and then...
And then, like,
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, inspired by, like, what was the Holy Avenger, Nathan Fillion, on, like, his, like, ridiculous, like, public access show.
I forgot who it's based off of. Like, the Holy Avenger, like, parody is based off of, like, a real kids TV show about, like, Jesus, superhero.
Yeah.
It's the dude from Charles in Charles. Like, not Scott Baio, but, like, the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really crazy show. But, yeah. So, you liked it, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely, like, you have to, like, be on board for, like, super, super dark comedy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're into that, it's really good. Remind me a lot of, like, God Bless America a little bit.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
It's, like, definitely in that genre, that vein.
It came out at a great time when, like, superhero movies were coming out, like, every few months, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So it's good to have one that was, like...
It definitely got compared to Kick-Ass when it came out, because they came out, like, the kind of the exact same year. Or, like...
That's unfortunate, though. That's unfortunate, but I could see how people did that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're kind... Like, Kick-Ass is, like, a parody of, like, actual, like, superheroes, and this is more like a weird, like, character study slash, like, vigilante sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because there's some superhero stuff in it, but not, it's, like, kind of in the back burner when you're trying to, like, look at, like Rainn Wilson's, like, mental disease or whatever and everything, and, like, everyone's horribly fucked up lives.
Yeah, that town is terrible. No one says anything. There's no cops.
Yep. Apparently, you can just go around, like, smash people in the face with wrenches.
Like, they complain about it on the news, but you don't ever see, like, a cop show up and, like, start asking questions.
Yeah.
Except that one cop, but then that was taken care of real fast.
Mm-hmm. And then, speaking of, like, parodies of superheroes and everything, I also watched Mystery Men on Netflix.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Which, I have not seen that movie in forever. Since probably since, like, it came out, or, like, a little bit afterwards it came out. Like, I haven't seen it since then.
I watch that movie, like, once a year. I own the DVD. Like, I bought it when it first came out on DVD, like, 9 years ago, so.
Once every Arbor Day.
I, like, light candles. It closes the shades.
Uh-huh.
Put it on. Totally underrated.
You're silly.
I think I think it's a little too ambitious. Like, it doesn't quite reach what it's trying to do, I don't think.
Well, first of all, it was based on a real comic series.
Was it?
The Blue Rock.
Yeah. It was made by the same people who made The Flaming Carrot.
Uh-huh.
So that's, like, really old, like, that's back in the 90s when, like, they were just, like,
indie
any
comics,
other
yeah.
that wasn't, like...
Like, Tick or something, you know, that's all
weird. Yeah, like, really obscure comics that, like, Marvel and DC, when they were fighting out, like, everything else was kind of, like, pushed the side.
Yeah.
And I always remember reading, like, Mystery Men, like, they're the Expendables of that world, where, like, they're all rejected superheroes that all suck, like, individually, but together they, like, are functional,
mm-hmm.
but not great. Like, they're just, like, they get lucky a lot.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, like, they lose a shitload of members. Like, so, like, let's say three of them actually make one competent hero, but, like, they go against a supervillain that kills, like, two of them. So they have to go out and keep recruiting, like, new people.
Yeah. So they're kind of like the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, like, it's basically what they are. And I think they might have come first, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of comic book, like, order, like, they were the first... I'm not saying they were the first, like, Expendables team, but I think they were, like, the most popular back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the Mystery Men, like, aren't around anymore, comic-wise.
No.
But even then, like, it was just, like, someone read, like, maybe the first issue went, yep, let's make a movie. And, like,
that's happening. Yep.
Yeah. And it's, like, that movie has a surprising amount of, like, cast members in it.
Oh, the cast is ridiculous.
Yeah.
like, I completely forgot, that, like, Jeffrey Rush is, like, the main villain.
Mm-hmm.
Casanova yeah. Frankenstein.
He sure is.
Who, I don't know how he's
great
Frankenstein,
name too.
But...
Yeah.
Well, he's he based on Frankenstein the Doctor, because he makes the mind warp machine.
Yeah. If he was, like, if he was Disco Frankenstein, it'd make more, way more sense.
Yeah, but that's why they have Disco, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Disco Tony, whatever his name is,
yep.
that Eddie Izzard plays.
Oh, that's, like, that's... Also, that's when Eddie Izzard was, like, still, like, dressing up
a
like
tranny,
a
tranny,
yeah.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. so he saw that one. Kids movie, like, let's throw him in there.
Yeah. Also, I think there's, like, a random, like, when they had, like, all the all the evil groups together in, like, the warrior style. Like,
oh, my God.
The leader,
CeeLo Green.
Oh, yeah. But then also, Michael Bay.
Yeah, he's the frat boy.
He's the leader of the frat boys.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, is that Michael Bay?
Yeah.
And because he's like, yo, can we bring up Brewskis in there? It's like, sure, you can bring up Brewskis in there. I don't care.
Like, I remember this movie came out in theaters and no one saw it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like, I remember Smash Mouth made a music video with this.
Oh my god, yeah.
All-Star
is all over it. It is
I remember
ridiculous.
Ben Stiller was like, yeah, I'm gonna... I forgot what movie he did prior.
I'm in a superhero franchise.
Yeah, it's like, this is my
chair. I
think
it was Something About Mary. Or something crazy like that. I think that was the last big thing he was in before that.
Was Zoolander after it?
Yeah.
I think Zoolander was like right after it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I always thought Ben Stiller directed Mystery Men, but he didn't.
No. No.
Because definitely felt like something he would have directed where it's like
now. Like prior to like Dodgeball. Like he might have been like, I think I know comedy enough to do this.
I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah, like you there's a bunch of like people in this movie that like I never thought I'd see them again. Like Pee Wee Herman.
Paul Rubens as the spleen.
Paul Ruben. Freaking
Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria is always in it. He was in Godzilla, so
yeah,
he'd be in it.
He's every voice in the Simpsons basically.
He shows
but
up.
Janine Garofalo is like
a
freaking like bowler. I was like, what? Like she usually plays like angry lesbians. Like
well, debatably. I mean angry lesbian in this too,
probably.
And then, freaking, is it Keenan? Yeah, Keenan.
Oh no, Kel.
Kel.
Yeah. How dare you?
Invisible Boy.
Yep.
So it's just like people that I never assumed I would see again as a kid, and they're in this, and then they just
or people you like you would never associate with like a superhero movie in like the past, like
right,
like Greg Kinnear.
Oh my god. Isn't that the best part where like the twist where Greg Kinnear doesn't make it? You're what?
He gets like just like horribly like mutilated by like the crazy machine.
Here's one thing I couldn't figure out even though I watched the movie like,
I think,
annually.
Cuz you're assuming like he's working with a little bit like with Casanova Frankenstein cuz like he got bored because he basically there's no battle left anymore. So like he lets him go, and then so the whole scene where, like he goes to the mansion, and like they're doing like the whole back and forth. They're like, take off your crazy like your telekinetic force field ray or ring or whatever and all that stuff. So like so it kind of seems like he's like working with him to like they have like this deal going on where they're just like go back and forth, keep each other relevant.
I'm saying like. Since he was like he was basically much the like Captain America Superman of this world.
Yeah.
Where like, everyone knows him, mm-hmm. everyone loves him, he's got, and then he doesn't make it. Like, I thought that was a great, like, in terms of a story, like, that's a great twist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that dark comedy sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, that was unexpected.
But the part I can't figure out was, did they actually kill him? The mystery. Like, men, like, did you think they actually accidentally tripped it, or they actually, like, pulled something and, like, killed him? I know it was an accident, but it was,
they're trying to defuse it, or whatever, and then he's telling them to flip the switch, and then they're on the whole, like, thing of, like, wait, do you want me to flip it again, or do you want me to flip it down, or twice, or what are you telling us to do?
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, you think they killed him based on what he said, or they did something else? I always thought that, because I was like, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they accidentally kill him, or did he, like, say, like, yeah, do it, and let's see what happened?
I think he kind of had an idea of, like, how it would work, but they weren't following it.
Because I thought it was, like, way more fucked up if they actually really did accidentally kill him.
Yeah. And you can definitely tell that, like, it's definitely a parody of, like, the Joel Schumacher Batman movies in, like, pretty much every aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right. the crazy, like, Gotham, it's, like, basically Gotham City that they're in. It's, like, super, like, they spent way too much money on the back, like, all the CG for the city and everything. And then they get, like, their Batman Forever-style costumes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's definitely a fun superhero comedy. I'd probably put it to the middle of, like, Ben Stiller level. Like, I think Zoolander's way better than it, and maybe Tropic Thunder ahead of it, but it's good.
Yeah, it's got a place in my heart, only because I loved the trailer as a kid, and it's something I grew up with, because, like, I think it was, like, 97, 98.
Seven or eight, yeah.
There weren't any superhero movies that whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only thing I was looking forward to. That was like a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Well, Batman and Robin was in 97 too, but I mean, you're basically right.
Yeah. And then the last thing I watched Branded, which on Netflix.
Oh. I saw the trailer.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing like trailer, Chris.
Oh.
So I don't know, in case you haven't seen it, like, It's basically the trailer set up to be like, there is this guy in Russia who he can see, apparently there's like this weird like conspiracy going on where there's these corporate sort of logos or corporate icons are like attaching themselves, like alive and attaching themselves to people and like draining their brains, or like it's this weird like advertising conspiracy going on. And then he has to like fight them or like free everyone from like the hold on them. And the movie is not that at all. It's this weird, it's like kind of like, it's a weird like satire slash like commentary on advertising. And it's super disjointed and weird, where it's like, it feels like a bunch of like short films smashed together, because there's like no transition between anything. Because basically what's going on is like, I'm assuming it came from Russia, or it's like they had to film in Russia for 20 reasons. Yeah. But yeah, so it's this young hotshot Russian ad executive who's working for Jeffrey Tambor in his like weird Russian American advertising company, and he gets this campaign to bring this like, well, the whole thing is Max von Sydow is this crazy like
Jesus.
he's this crazy like advertising genius who all the fast food companies come to him and like, we're losing money because everyone is like super concerned about being thin and everything, and you don't want our fast food. He's like, so he comes up with this like crazy conspiracy campaign where like he's gonna try to like change the global thoughts of everyone.
Good.
On fast food. So this Russian, like Jeffrey Tambor's company is like behind this like reality show in Russia, where they get like this fat girl and like promise her like these surgeries, but then sort of the conspiracy manipulates it. So it's like, but right before she goes into surgery, she like freaks out and then she goes into a coma. So everyone's like, oh, why does she have to change? Because everyone like falls in love with her over the show because they like develop her personality and everything. So like, she was fine the way she was. She shouldn't change. Fat's awesome. So they basically bankrupts the company, and then he goes off and like exiles himself in like the countryside or something, and like 6 years later everyone in Russia is like super fat, and like it's all just fast food in Russia. And then he does this weird like ritual to, so he can like, because he has a vision or something, and he does this ritual like he murders a cow and like bathes in the blood, and like he can see like these visions.
I'm gonna pause you for a sec, Zach. This is nothing I thought about the trailer.
Oh, yeah, I mean, even from the poster, where, like, it's, like, him with, like, an axe on the roof, like, ready to fight these, like, weird...
Like, I feel demons. Somewhere like, along the line, you're talking about, like, a Tim and Eric skit that just went out of control. Like, I don't know anymore.
I was just sitting there watching, like, where, like, when is this movie gonna, when is the corporate entity is going to show up or something. You're like, when is this movie actually going to do something?
Yeah, when is the actual, like, point? Because I feel like it's, like, it's interesting, but I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, this is not what I thought. Like, if you had to show me, like, the trailer and also, say, like, what do you think? I am totally wrong.
Yeah. And it keeps doing these weird, like, asides of, like, because there's, like, this, like, narrator, like, constantly narrating everything, and, like, it's, I guess it's supposed to be, like, comedic effect, where it's, like, they keep doing, like, these flashbacks to, like, how he learned how he learned advertising and, like, all these other weird stuff that keeps cutting in, and then, yeah, but eventually, like, he does this ritual, he can see, like, these crazy demons, like, these, whatever these things are. Then he comes up with a plan of, like, well, I'm going to use my advertising power to take down all these companies because all corporations are evil or something. I don't know. He basically decides he's going to take down all corporations, I guess. Or take down all advertising for some reason. With advertising. Which is, it doesn't make any sense. But basically, like, what happens, he never fights the things directly or anything. So the trailer and the poster are lying to you pretty much right up for that. Basically what he does is, like, he makes some of them super powerful, and they, like, fight each other. So they do, like, this insane, like, cut to, like, super, like, crazy CG battle between, like, these vaguely recognizable corporate logos. Of, like, okay. It's, like, Microsoft Windows logos that turn into, like, these weird, like, ball creatures, like, attacking, like, a giant, like, Apple logo that has, like, a giant mouth and teeth and stuff. Or, like, a giant, like, McDonald's worm that's, like, eating things.
Again, I would not have predicted any of this. This is...
Yeah, it is literally insane. Like, I think the people who made it were, like, literally insane.
Hmm.
And they're trying to make this, like, insane, like, they probably should have made, like, a documentary or something and not, like, an actual movie.
Like, yeah, I felt like it was against, like, anti-marketing, and then now it's like, well...
Yeah, it's anti-marketing, anti-corporation, weird propaganda sort of thing. But then... But
this is, like, totally off the rails, like, anything I thought would have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no idea. I was seeing, like, what am I watching? I have no idea what I'm watching.
I'm sorry to watch that alone.
And it kind of just ends. Like, it doesn't really, like, do, it, like, just ends with, like, and so corporations don't exist anymore or something, I guess. Advertising. Because, they eventually builds, like, this insane level where it's like, well, the UN's going to ban advertising now. Like, all advertising.
How people know what to eat?
I don't know. Well, it's insane because he combat the fast food companies, he, like, puts all his effort into, like, this, like, weird Japanese, like, vegetarian restaurant. And then they get so much, like, I don't know what powers these, like, corporate monsters or whatever, but apparently it builds up so much that, like, they hatch, like, a dragon form of their company and, like, it attacks the other companies.
Like, I imagine this movie would be awesome if it was, like, a satire. Like, the very...
Oh, it's trying to be a satire, too, I think.
Okay, now it's trying too hard. Like, way too much. Like, imagine if the plot was, like, a corporation, you have a mascot, and it's, like, if you, like, grow your corporation, you grow your real mascot, and, like, you get things based off it. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool, like, that concept. Like, kind of like Pokemon, sort of. But, like, this is where it goes off the rails, and there's just, like, wacky, like... Russian logic that just gets thrown in there.
And, like, everyone has, like, parts of the creature, like, whatever creature attached to them, and that's sort of, like, their, like, desire for that product, and then when they meet it, it, like, goes up and builds, like, attaches itself to, like, the mother creature.
Oh my, see, this is what, like, the beginning sounds, like, the certain parts was, like, that idea I just spilled out was, like, the beginning thing of, like, a college writer's, like, short story based on some sci-fi movies he saw.
Yeah.
And then it gets really anime-ish, like, really fast. Like,
yep.
That wacky logic just gets thrown in there, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's like, there's, like, a very deadpan narrator, like, narrating things, and it's, like, it's definitely trying to have like these like comedic like flashbacks and stuff, and like it cuts like this like home video sort of style of like things that happened in the past. And it's weird. It's like they're trying to do like a million things and like none of them work. It's like it's super ridiculous.
So you don't recommend this movie?
No. Especially like if you saw a trailer and you're like, oh, that seems kind of interesting. It's like this guy like fighting these weird like corporate entities.
Monster things, yeah.
Like that is not what this movie is in the slightest.
I would have been tricked.
Yeah. Or the poster, which is like him with like an axe on the roof with like all these crazy monsters coming up. So yeah, I'll say pass on that one if you see it on Netflix. Even if Netflix is like suggesting it to you.
Bad Netflix. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's it for me. So I think we can probably wrap this thing up for the week, unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about.
I think that'll do
it. Good.
Okay. So, if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for, news, reviews, trailers, videos, all sorts of stuff. We got a review of Despicable Me 2 up there from Brian. So you can check that out, see what his thoughts were on Despicable Me 2. We got Tarantino Month and Music Montage going with, music from Pulp Fiction. And I think definitely come back next week because we're going to be covering whatever is coming out of Comic-Con next week. So just keep checking the site and all of our other stuff and just keep seeing what's coming out of there. Hopefully a bunch of Godzilla stuff, a bunch of other stuff, some crazy Marvel news, all this other stuff happening. You can follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/everything.action. You can like us in there. We got a whole bunch of stuff going up on there. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. We got a bunch of random awesomeness going on the Tumblr page. We got twitter.com/EVAction. You can follow us on there. iTunes, go to iTunes Media Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to us. Rate us, leave us some reviews, leave us some comments. And you can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch, and that's free. And you can check out news stories and also listen to the podcast on the app, so definitely check that out. You can also get us on Stitcher, stitcher.com. You can stream or download us on there. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.